Now, I've got a little brief word of exhortation, and it is going to be so quick. Who believes me? Who's got some serious doubts today? We'll see. We read John chapter 19 a few moments ago. It didn't cover every aspect of the crucifixion of Jesus. It covered most, but not everything. It didn't include what happened before Jesus was whipped. And I guess this message addresses that just a little bit. But after being betrayed, who betrayed Jesus? Can anybody shout out who betrayed Jesus? Yeah, remember him? Yeah, he betrayed Jesus. Jesus was actually arrested at night time. It was still dark. And he was arrested on the eve of the Jewish Passover. And the religious leaders, they were really problematic. They were the ones who really were responsible for him being arrested. And they did it because they were just really jealous of him. Felt he was a threat, though he was not. And they rejected his claim, of course, that he claimed that he was God. He kept saying over and over again, I'm the Son of God. He's God. So the religious leaders, they firstly interrogated Jesus themselves. But then eventually, they took him to the Roman governor, and his name was Pilate, or Pontius Pilate. They took Jesus to Pilate because they wanted Jesus Christ to be executed by the Romans, and they wanted Jesus put out of the way. And so when they said, you know, they wanted the Romans to execute Jesus, it meant crucifixion. And crucifixion, I don't want to talk much about that at all, really, but it was just so cruel and barbaric that the Romans actually thought crucifixion was so cruel that they never actually used it on their own people. A crucifixion for the Romans was reserved for foreigners only. Word spread really quickly in Jerusalem that Jesus had been arrested. And even though it was early morning, a large and growing crowd gathered at the front of Pilate's residence. And also he worked from home. He had a big palace there. Pilate interviewed Jesus, and he was a switched-on guy, and he knew straight away that Jesus was being set up. He knew it was a setup right from the start. He knew he was being set up by the religious leaders. Yet the religious leaders were highly manipulative and clever, and so Pilate found himself being gradually coerced into meeting their cruel demands. But Pilate had an annual tradition. He'd been in Israel for a few years, and he did the same thing at Passover time. And at the Passover time, as a favor to the Jews, to keep everybody happy, Pilate would release a prisoner back into the community. And Pilate used this tradition as a feeble attempt to release Jesus. And so Pilate asked for a notorious criminal named Barabbas. Absolutely. But actually, Barabbas, it's a compound name, Bar-Abbas. It actually means, Bar means son of the father. That's actually what his name meant. Interesting is that he was called really son of the father, earthly father. Jesus was the son of God. So he had Barabbas brought to him from the dungeons, and he had Barabbas actually come and stand next to Jesus Christ. This was before Jesus was beaten. He'd had some beating from the high priest, but not the Roman tortures yet. Barabbas was a wicked troublemaker. He was accused of murder. He was actually part of a gang that tried to overthrow the local authorities through violence and acts of violence. He was a bad man. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, we all know, was a Prince of Peace, who restored broken lives, healed the sick, and ministered hope to people. That was Jesus. So you got these two completely different men, one guilty, Barabbas, and one innocent, and they now stood side by side looking out over this huge crowd that kept growing. Then Pilate gave the huge crowd in front of his residence a choice. He invited the crowd to decide who should be released. Should it be Barabbas or should it be Jesus Christ? And you know the story. You already know the bizarre decision that the crowd made. They wanted Barabbas to be released. They rejected Jesus, thus condemning him to death on the cross, and they embraced Barabbas, a murderer, most of whom probably didn't even know he existed until that moment. Can you believe that they would choose a murderer over Jesus Christ? Doesn't make sense at all. Then Pilate asked the crowd what he should do with Jesus, and they shouted, Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. That choice that the crowd made that day says a lot about humanity. I don't think we've changed very much. Seems to me that we, people, we have a real problem making the right choices that matter in life. We have a choice problem going on. Our choices matter because every choice carries a consequence, either good or bad. For example, a trivial example I know, but I'm just making the point. If you choose to eat a lot of food, you will get fat. You choose to speed in your car, you will be caught and you will be fined. Don't come and whinge to me when that happens. You know, there's a consequence to every decision we make in life. We really need to grasp this. And our lives actually revolve all the time around the choices we make and the consequences that they bring. I'm looking at you today, and whatever's going on in your life is a result of the consequences that's going on, which is related to the choices that you've made. Now, it's true that God used the crowd's poor choice. God knew what they were going to do. God used the crowd's poor choice of rejecting Jesus to bring the opportunity for salvation of the world. We know that, don't we? We know that God was able to do that. But there still was a consequence. But because they chose Barabbas and rejected Jesus, the Romans actually came later, several years later, with their armies, and they destroyed Jerusalem, and they destroyed the temple, the very temple the religious leaders were trying to protect. Their choice ended up destroying the temple. There was a consequence to their evil choice. So our choices really do matter. What you sow. You know, and when you think, well, when did this first start? It started with Adam and Eve. They started this trend of poor choices. When they made the world's first poor choice and they disobeyed God, they started this trend. And that one poor choice that Adam and Eve made gave rise to all the trouble in your life today, all the trouble around the world and suffering we have today. Yet the Bible, in the Bible, we read of other pivotal times where circumstances demanded that an important life choice be made. We have pivotal times today to make right choices. But in the Bible, for example, Joshua said to the whole Israelite nation after actually a season of success, he said, "Then choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, as for me and my family..." But you got to choose who you're going to serve. On another occasion, the old prophet Elijah stood in front of Israel and he said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions?" It's time for a choice. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And then Moses said, "Today I give you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." Choices. Adam and Eve started the wrong trend of choices, but we still can make good choices today. And today, thankfully, God still brings people, and maybe he's doing it with you today, God still brings people to crossroads in their lives where they have a divine opportunity to change the course of their life and find peace with Almighty God. And you never know when that crossroads is going to come. It could be happening right now for you today. God still today invites you and me to choose life. And the divine crossroad that God brings us to always concerns Jesus Christ. Always. Always. It's a little bit similar to the decision that the crowd faced with Pilate that we spoke about. That decision the crowd faced 2,000 years ago. The crowd had a choice. Jesus or Barabbas? But this time, the question that God asks us, The question is this, is who do you want sitting on the throne of your heart? Actually, if you want to be technical about it, that really was the question that was hidden behind the question of Barabbas and Jesus. They didn't want Jesus telling them what to do, so they chose Barabbas. Who do you want sitting on the throne of your heart today? Do you want Jesus, or let's use the name Barabbas? Jesus, the Prince of Peace, brings forgiveness and he makes you right with God. But Barabbas today represents whatever else is sitting on the throne of your heart. Barabbas represents whatever else is driving your life. Why you do what you do, your ambitions, your goals, what you want out of life. What's driving that? If you have a Barabbas on the throne of your heart, then you're on the wrong path and you know that you are, and you know it's going to have dire consequences. Now, you may say in your mind, when's this service going to be over and done with so I can get out of here so I don't have to listen to this anymore? And you might also be saying, hold on a minute, this is 2017, I will not have Jesus and I will not have Barabbas either sitting on the throne of my heart, thank you very much. I will drive my own life and I will determine my own destiny. So I don't need to choose between Jesus and Barabbas, I choose me. Well, with all due respect, and I mean that quite sincerely, with all due respect, that attitude was exactly, well, that mistake really, was exactly the same mistake Adam and Eve made. Exactly the same. They decided to drive their own lives, and look what happened. We're in the mess today because of that decision. The throne of your heart is designed only for Jesus Christ. Anything else upon the throne of your heart, including yourself, is a Barabbas. So, whom will you choose today? It's Good Friday. God is presenting you with a choice today because today you can get right with God. Why wouldn't you want to be right with God? Choose Jesus and choose life. The Bible says that Jesus came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. That's what we read about, didn't we, in John 19. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Wow! All our choices carry consequences. And the consequence of choosing Jesus Christ is that he makes you a son or a daughter of the living God. He gives you a new beginning where you have peace with Almighty God. Eternal life and peace with God is just a choice away today. This Good Friday, choose Jesus and choose life. In fact, why wait any longer? Why don't you choose Jesus right at this moment? Let's just pray. Come on, everybody. Let's just pray. Why don't you just make this your sacred moment? Maybe you've even walked away from God. You know how that can happen, how life is. And we get caught up in life and we think, my goodness, where is God in my life? When did I leave him? Well, we need to come back to God today. And you can make this your sacred moment where you open your heart to Jesus and invite him into your life. So I'm just going to just pray a general prayer. And if you're saying, yeah, this really resonated with me today, I want to choose God. I don't understand all of the God stuff. I haven't really actually read the Bible, but it's definitely resonated with me. And I want to choose Jesus. And if you know, I'm going to say it's prayer, but if it's resonated with you, why don't you just put your hand upon your heart? You know, and as you do that, you know, you're saying, God, I'm putting my hand on my heart. And I'm saying today, Lord, I want you to have control of my heart. I want you to be on the throne of my heart. So just put your hand upon your heart. And I'll just pray a general prayer. Father, we just come before you and we just thank you for Good Friday. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who saved lost sinners like us so we could be born again. And we just pray, we just pray for one another. Pray all of us, Lord, will walk with the Lord. But we pray particularly today for people who perhaps for the first time, or perhaps for people who have lost their way. Today, Lord, we pray for those people, Lord, as they choose Jesus Christ. Lord, as they're just putting their trust in you today. Lord, we just pray that you'll come into their lives in a powerful way. Pray they'll never be the same again. Pray, Lord, they'll have a fresh start today. Pray, Lord, whatever sins they've committed, Lord, that you'll just wash them all away. Give them a clean heart today. And we just pray, Lord, that, Lord, they'll submit their lives to you and become followers of Jesus Christ. We reject Barabbas. As for us today, we choose Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,